Go Cowboys.
Okay, so I'm gonna have some editing to do.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here together and allowing us the honor of gathering to worship you and to celebrate again the joy and the privilege that we have of being here in a place where we are free to worship you, and we're free to tell others about you. Let us use that freedom well. Open our hearts to your word today, in Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we've all, usually we do this on the front end of a week like this, but we did it our way, right? We always got to be a little different. And besides, the fourth was closer to this Sunday than it was to last Sunday, right? So, praise God. Everybody has, I hope, enjoyed their week and got to do whatever it is they enjoy doing on that day. I remember the first time I went to see fireworks with the family. And we were on blankets in a park, and those things seemed like they were just right on top of us. And I remember being just a little bit frightened, because it sure looked to me like those flaming things were going to come down right on top of us. But we all survived, and it was a neat experience. And now they do stuff with drones, and that's cool too. But you know, there's just nothing like the explosions, the fireworks to celebrate the day with. But we have, you know, we had our parades, we had our cookouts, we had our fireworks to celebrate that day when we declared our independence from Great Britain. But that freedom cost us dearly. People sacrificed their lives, sacrificed their property, so that we would be here today and be free. And that wasn't the first time, or it wasn't the only time. We've been in conflict since then. That had they gone the wrong way, we might not all be here today, worshiping freely, speaking freely. That's being challenged, but praise God, there's still nowhere else on earth that we'd rather be. But that freedom, though, does come with a responsibility. We have a responsibility to protect it, to preserve it, to use it wisely. No one has unlimited freedom. That would be chaos. We wouldn't want that. Somebody, you know, said in trying to explain how that works, I forget who made this quote, but he said, "Your freedom ends at the end of my nose." There's only so we can't use our freedom in a way that does harm to others. We're not free to take away things that belong to others. We're not. There's a lot of things that we're not free to do. With freedom comes a responsibility to use it properly. And yes, it took a few years to learn what that really meant. Now, we wrote in our declaration that all men were created equally. And yet at the time we had slavery going on, and people have made much of that. And you know, we weren't perfect. It took a while to get it right. We had to fight a war over it. There's also been some untruths told about that, though. One of the most destructive being that, well, you know, there's the Constitution itself is racist. You know, the slaves were only considered 3/5 of a person. Well, for the one thing, there's no mention of race in that. And what was really happening there was a bend to the reality of the situation. The South wanted to have it both ways. They wanted to have their slaves, which were not citizens and couldn't vote, and yet they wanted them counted in their population so that they would have outsized power in the new government. So the three-fifths was a compromise to get them to join at the time. South was trying to have it both ways. But not another thing that we know, that most people don't know, is that not all of the slaves and not all of the slaves' owners were necessarily the same color. You had slave and slave owners in both groups. But the Civil War, it took us having a Civil War to finally put that right, and then it took us another 100 years before we really started putting things the way they ought to be. And now we have some in our society that are trying to undo all of that progress. And I hope that we will stand together and stand against that. We will not be divided again. But there is another kind of freedom. And it's related in a way, but when we talk about freedom as Christians, we're talking about something beyond what we experience in the day-to-day realm or the political realm. We're talking about freedom from the power and the rule of sin. Romans chapter 6 talks about the old self being crucified with him so that we're no longer slaves to him. We're no longer slaves to sin. Verse 14 in that same chapter says, "For sin shall no longer be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." We are also freed from the oppressive set of rules that was there to teach us that we couldn't do it. We're free from the restrictions. We're free from the curse that comes from the failure that we have to keep it. We're not able to do it. He says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." Who can give me the address? Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. But with that freedom also comes responsibility. Responsibility to choose life and not return to our old way. Chris was talking about that in the Sunday school. It requires us to choose not to abuse that freedom in ways that would hurt those around us, or that would cause maybe younger or less mature believers to stumble. Now, as we get into Romans chapter 14 here, which is where we're going to be today, Paul is addressing some concerns that were relevant to the culture that he was in. One of them had to do with eating food, something that might have been part of an idol's sacrifice to an idol. Or also there was concern over whether people should be keeping the Jewish dietary laws, the clean versus the unclean. And the other thing was whether or not they should be observing the holidays or the feast days that were part of the Jewish culture. And those things are wonderful, by the way. There's no reason, it would probably benefit us if we did do that. But it's not a matter of you have to do that. And so there's controversy there that Paul is addressing. And he gives these instructions not to judge one another in these matters, but also to be fully convinced in your own mind that what you're doing is right before God. Because if you're not convinced, and we're going to read this in a minute, he said, if you're not convinced, if you're not doing what you're doing out of faith, he says, whatever is not from faith is sin. These principles are applicable to our own culture as well. We don't have the same issues, but we have the same principles. The truth remains, but where we get in trouble is when we use the truth as a weapon to destroy our brothers and sisters. We're all accountable to God. So let me go ahead and begin reading in chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced that in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if because of your food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the one who eats and gives offense. It is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or to do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. There's a lot of stuff there to unpack, and I don't know that we'll do as thorough a job as we need to in the time that we have. But you know, we've started reading with a therefore. So what's it there for? Because judgment of a believer is God's business, not ours. You can get that from verse 13 there. And we are not to do it. Basically, we need to quit it. Yeah. Now, am I talking about, I want to make a distinction here, because there's a difference between flagrant sin and things that we can disagree about. There are a lot of things in our Christian walk, just the ways of worship and ways of if you went back a few years in the Baptist church, I'm not so sure it's as true as it used to be anymore, but drinking was absolutely off limits. You weren't to drink alcohol, period. And if you were to do that, somebody walk in my house as a pastor and find that in my fridge, I might cause them to stumble. I don't like it anyway, so that's an easy one for me. But it could be applied to any number of things. But when it comes to flagrant sin, we've talked about that in other situations. He doesn't say you should ignore that. In fact, he says you need to address it. So there's a difference between, judging people over things that don't matter. Really, there is truth and there is untruth in those situations, but they're not salvation issues. They're not critical issues. So you let them work out that between them and God. You can tell them what you think if the opportunity applies, and maybe help them to grow a little bit, but that's between them and God. Don't get in the middle of it. Rather, be considerate and be protective over their conscience. Avoid stumbling blocks. Avoid anything that would cause them to compromise their own beliefs. If I have somebody who's going back to the alcohol example again, if I have somebody that's struggling with alcoholism, I'm not going to invite them to go to a bar, right, even if I'm just there to have a burger. Right. That would be an unrighteous thing to do. I'm putting them in a situation where they would be tempted. Right. Now concerning, and he now writes concerning food specifically, nothing is unclean. And he says that in verse 14. Jesus said that in Mark chapter 17, verses 18 through 19. We have the story of Peter in Acts chapter 10. That's really more about the acceptance of the Gentiles. And I've heard people argue that. So we'll just stick with what Jesus said in Mark, where it says, thus he made all things clean. But what Paul is saying here is it's unclean for the one who thinks it's unclean. And what does that mean, it's really unclean? No, what it means is it has to do with your heart. It has to do with whether you are acting faithfully before God, what you understand to be the truth. That's always been the situation. Are we acting the best we know? Now, we could be wrong, and God is big enough to correct us over time. But are we acting in good conscience before God as to what we understand the truth to be? And if we're not, if I do believe it's wrong to ever take a drink, and I take one anyway, well then I've sinned. Because I have acted in violation of what I believe to be the truth. And I'm not right before God. I'm not talking here about relative truth. What's true is still true. We've already established what the truth is in this passage. But it's a matter of the heart. And I've really talked through all of these notes already, so I'm going to skip down. Praise God. But love always ought to be first. If we exercise our freedom in a way that does harm, that is not love. He's saying basically, don't destroy each other for the sake of trivial things, trivial indulgence. Now, I also grew up around people, we had family members who believed, absolutely would not see a rated R movie. That was off the table. Wouldn't wouldn't go, wouldn't allow their kids to go. Now, is there anything necessarily? I would venture to say that probably 90% of rated R movies probably shouldn't be seen, because the whole concept of what you put in your brain, you know, what we ought not to be entertained by evil. We talked about that. But there's no thou shalt not watch. The rating system hadn't been invented for 2,000, wouldn't be invented for 2,000 years. You wouldn't have had a commandment about it. But what you've got is a guideline. But it's, you know, somebody wants to watch that, and you know, there's no specific command that says, so we ought not to be standing in judgment. But, you know, the food could be anything. Could also be the things that we say or post on social media. That's where I have to watch myself. I've tried to be a lot more careful in recent years. But really, what it comes down to is selfishness. If we're acting in a way that's selfish, that's the opposite of love. Life is precious and worth any sacrifice. Just ask Jesus. Our conduct then, again, another therefore, don't let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. Verse 16. That doesn't mean that you're going to absolutely defend your action. And you know, don't you dare say anything about what I'm doing. What it does mean is don't use that freedom of yours, which is good, in an evil way. And you can see that reflected also in verse 20. God's kingdom is not built on rules. God's kingdom is not built on do this and don't do that. God's kingdom is found in walking with the Holy Spirit, righteousness, right standing with God, possible only because of what Jesus did, given to you through the sacrifice of his blood. The peace that comes from within, that is given through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And the joy, the kind of joy that only God's children can have. When we serve him in this way, putting the needs of others first, being led by the Holy Spirit in the things that we do, acting in a way that is pleasing to God. He has shown us that kind of love and grace, and he desires that we walk that closely with him. And then he says, pursue peace. And we've seen that in several other places. Go after it. When you pursue something, you're chasing it down. So pursue the things that make for peace. Actively, in this case, it would be actively discouraging division over things that are really trivialities. Choosing what is good for others over what we want, even if it's a good thing, even if it's okay. Building up each other, encouraging each other, teaching each other. The differences will disappear as we do that. And so Paul then kind of recaps what he's just said, and it really goes on into chapter 15 as he speaks about the unity. You know, these were Jew versus Gentile issues in this case largely, and so he's going on to speak of how we're all one. But he says, don't destroy God's work. Don't destroy God's work for your own gratification. Everything is clean. And a lot of things, many things are good, but they're evil when they do harm. It's good not to do anything that might cause somebody else to stumble. And some people have taken those and made another set of rules out of it. That wasn't necessarily what he was saying there, as much as just be careful, be loving, choose what you do and choose what you have with an eye toward taking care of your family. That is your brothers and sisters in Christ. Know what you, and finally, know what you believe and stick to it. Because when we begin to operate outside of faith, that's when we fall into sin. Happy is he who does not condemn himself by what he approves. If we'll stay true, then your conscience is clear. If you doubt and proceed anyway, well, then you've fallen into sin. Because when we doubt, well, actually, I'm going to rephrase that. The rule that I say I always live by, I can't say I always live by it, but a good rule to live by is when in doubt, don't. But it's the very opposite of what many of us do. Many of us, and I've been guilty too, many of us will take that the other way. When in doubt, oh, well, it might be all right, so I'll do it anyway. But if we really want to please God, again, like Priscilla talked about earlier, if we really want to please God, then we choose the things that we think will please him. We are constantly presented with choices in our everyday life. And generally, they have to do with what we're going to do. May have to do with what we're going to consume, whether that's food or entertainment or whatever it is, or what we're going to say. A lot of times what comes out of our mouth is the most dangerous thing. James talks about that. We should ask ourselves, is it right? And then beyond that, how is it going to affect my family? The specifics are probably as varied as are all of us. They're going to be different depending on who you are, who your people are around you, what your life looks like. There's not going to be one set of rules for everybody as far as that goes, other than what we've already talked about. Choosing love, choosing to do what's right, and choosing to protect those around you and look out for them. Because otherwise, you get into another kind of bondage. You can get into another kind of bondage because you cannot please everyone. It's impossible. You're not going to be able to make everybody happy. We cannot be imprisoned by others' expectations. We truly are free. Christ Jesus has set us free. This means that we're also free to practice restraint. But we sometimes, and we sometimes may choose to give up that freedom that we have for the sake of somebody else. And again, we don't have to look very far. We have Jesus as our example, who gave up everything for us. Now, I know, and if you are in If you're at a place of leadership, it becomes that much more important that we walk in a way that is above reproach, and that wouldn't cause somebody else to stumble. I have to operate by a higher standard. I have to operate not by just what I think is right, but I have to consider what other people think is right. And even if I disagree, if I'm going to cause them to stumble, oh, pastor did that, so I can do that. Well, now I've gone and caused somebody to stumble that's looking to me for answers. I don't want to be responsible for that. So I have to consider at some level all the traditions that I might encounter. I'm not going to necessarily meet everyone. I'm not going to be able to, I'm not, like I've already said, that's impossible. And I do happen to be among Baptists, so you know that informs sometimes the things that I choose to do or not do. But you know, I've already talked about social media. The other day, I think the last time I spoke on this topic, I had just, it hadn't been but a few weeks, I had been with some friends from work and didn't really even think about what I was doing, you know, the message I was sending. I just wanted to get a picture of my friends at work because I think I had a new phone or was experimenting with Facebook, or I don't remember what the deal was, but I took a picture of everybody and posted it. And then my wife pointed out, you know, everybody's got a drink in their hand or in front of them on the table. I thought, well, maybe that wasn't such a good, maybe that wasn't such a good thing to share. Now, you know, would it have been all right if I had a drink with them? Actually, I believe it would have been. Yeah. I'm not going to do that because I just don't like it. But I'm also not going to do that because I might needlessly offend somebody for something I don't even like that much. But we have to be aware. I also have to be aware when this is something I have to be aware of. It's kind of a touchy subject. But if I am counseling people or working or talking to people even over an extended period of time, somebody who's of the opposite sex. I mean, there's not a person in here that I worry about spending time with. But we always have to be conscious of, A, the devil taking opportunity, and B, the way that the outside world is looking in and seeing things that aren't there. So we always have to be careful in ministry and balance the ministry. That's why I think the Bible teaches older men teach the younger men, older women teach the older women. Because you don't want to set up that kind of situation. And that's why we need women and men in our congregation that are actively involved in discipling and teaching the younger. There's some things it's just not appropriate for me to do, even though I would have absolutely honorable intentions. We need to send a consistent message, a message that's above reproach, and avoid situations that could be compromising for everybody involved. The objective is not to tell you what to do, but to remind us all that we have a greater responsibility. Love, protect, and care for each other. Sometimes it might mean giving up something that we enjoy that's perfectly okay. We do it out of love. And what about our freedom as citizens of this country? You know, the reason why we have that, and people have tried to explain it away, but the reason why most of the people who were involved in that came from a Christian background, and God was assumed in everything that they did. Now, were all of them that way? No, not all of them were that way. But that is the foundation on which our society is built. It's based on the idea, it even says it in our Declaration of Independence, what, we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. It comes from We have a responsibility, though. That freedom comes with the responsibility to preserve it. Now, it should not be used irresponsibly, but of greatest importance. Of greatest importance is our freedom to share the truth. Folks, whatever we need to be actively engaged in protecting that freedom, because everything else comes from that. Now we could talk politics and get real mad here in short order, but when it comes down to it, we all know that no politician can save us. Only Jesus can save us. And if we don't come back to Jesus as a people, we have no hope. So it's my prayer, yes, absolutely, I'm going to urge you over and over again, do your homework, get out and fulfill your responsibility as a citizen of this country and vote according to the principles of truth that are in the Bible. But if we're not sharing Jesus, that's not going to mean nothing. It's all going to fall down. Precisely because we are a society, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But still, ultimately, it is the public that is making the decisions. A lot of times it's through proxies. But as we choose our leaders, the character is going to come through. And now look what we got. We got nobody but ourselves to blame for that. We created that. If we don't come back to God, that's what we're going to have to live with. And we won't last. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the freedom that we have. Help us. Help us to be about preserving it. And most importantly, by telling as many people as will listen the truth about who you are and what you did for us, and about the way that they too can find life. In Jesus' name, amen.